In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the year 1605, the government of King James VI and I of Great Britain pulled off one of the greatest pieces of political spin in British history. Rather than suppressing the customs associated with Halloween, which were out of place in their Protestant nation, they encouraged them to be transferred to the 5th of November, the anniversary of the failed gunpowder plot, when an attempt was made to blow up the king and parliament. And so they changed these, what they saw as rather pagan customs, into a demonstration of support for their regime. And the noisiness of what we now call Bonfire Night, with the fireworks and all the rest of it, and the ghoulish manifestations of the modern Halloween, are in fact a form of whistling in the dark. They are intended to scare away thoughts of death. Death is the unseen enemy lurking in the dark, and that scares us. So as Christians, what can we say about death in a more mature and faithful way? We can point to the fact that death is a gateway to new life. As we have already seen in nature, it happens all the time. Think of the billions of microscopic plankton of prehistoric times. They died and sank to the bottom of the ocean, eventually becoming the coal and oil and gas that keep us alive with their light and heat. Or a dead tree, host to countless grubs and insects, which in turn are food for the wonderful tree creeper that goes up and down the tree by my study window. We might think too of failures and setbacks which have turned out to be the proverbial blessings in disguise. Little deaths from which new opportunities, new life have sprung. Countless examples of death and resurrection. The way God works in maintaining and sustaining his creation. Which of course is spelled out for us in Jesus. For we know, of course, from Good Friday to Easter that death is not the end and that God's love is stronger than death. Of course, it is probably easier to be philosophical and think this way when we mark the passing of a loved one who has lived a long, happy, and fulfilled life. Possibly, but not necessarily. And then in the summer, I was at the Insull Hospital one day, standing by the bedside of a young man who had suffered massive head injuries from a fall. I stood there with his parents, and we knew the outlook was hopeless. I said prayers and hugged them as they wept for their son, whom they would soon lose. It's much harder to be accepting and philosophical then. The thought that a young life can be snuffed out suddenly is much more difficult to come to terms with, much more scary. Death is no respecter of persons. It can shatter our sense of logic or justice or our confidence that there is meaning to what goes on in the world. And certainly easy answers are hard to come by. And if they are, they are not convincing, nor are they comforting. I think too of another sad, tragic death that I was involved with when, in my last parish, about 10 years ago, a party of school children, a coach party, were involved in an accident in France, and a 14-year-old girl was killed. And the clergy of the town, we were there in the school, facing that raw grief, organising a memorial service, attended by the whole school, some of whom were still in bandages and plasters after the accident. And yet, now, young people in Largs have new opportunities for making and performing music, thanks to the appeal launched after Catherine's death, because she was a keen amateur musician. I think too of the bonds forged out of tragedy between that school and the local community in France where the accident happened. Or closer to home, we may think of Cecily's Fund, where again a young life ended tragically and suddenly has resulted in new life being given to so many hundreds of people in Zambia. And so even in times like that, we see hints of death and resurrection. We might also consider the words of St. Paul in his letter to the Christians in Rome. Chapter 5, verse 3, he says, "Suffering produces endurance." It is an unfashionable thing to say because we want to avoid suffering. We want to get out of it. But endurance implies putting up with something, carrying on, as Jesus carried on, carried the cross, carried the burden of hostility and rejection, as we are called to carry and bear one another's burdens. Now, the only way you can learn endurance and put it into practice is through suffering. And you need to learn it. You cannot just shrug off suffering forever. And without endurance, you would just collapse under your burden. Without endurance, we would not be here, because the whole human race would have disappeared thousands of years ago. Endurance teaches us to bear our misfortunes and to cope with difficulty. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, St. Paul tells us. For us Christians, we can have hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And notice how Paul neatly lays out the logical progression from suffering to hope. Suffering produces character. Character produces hope. Because we hope because God's love is poured out in all circumstances. From darkness to light, pain to joy, death to new life. Because in God, hope is not just whistling in the dark. Hope is knowing deep down that in spite of all appearances to the contrary, all shall be well. Amen.